My name is Michael Hoffman. I was serving in the U.S. Marines as part of 5th Battalion, 11th Marines in the actual conflict in Iraq.
What was your post?
I was in the Fire Direction Center, which means I was in the basically the brain center of our firing battery. So all radio communications came through us. Any kind of fire missions, which is another unit telling us that they need artillery fire, came through us. So I saw all the radio communications going through, all the cars for fire. I heard a lot of what we were shooting at, when we were shooting.
So what were you shooting at?
A lot of things. Our main thing, our main job in the early war was called counter battery, which basically means if the Iraqis shot anything like mortars, howitzers, rockets at us, we have a radar that can track where the round comes from, and then we'd shoot back at it.
So where were you?
And after the initial stage of the war, we just got thrown around. We were called a reinforcing battery, or reinforcing battalion. So wherever the major fight was, we would go to that area and help support them. We would reinforce their fires.
And where were those locations?
I was outside of El Basra, Baghdad, Nasiriyah.
So how long were you at each places?
Only a day or two. Some of the longest time we spent was in Tikrit. We were there for, I think, a little over a week.
So how long were you actually in Iraq?
I was actually in Iraq for, you lose track of time there, but I think it was about 2.5 months.
2.5 months?
Yeah.
So what was it like in Iraq?
It was really interesting because I didn't see a lot of the frontline combat. You know, I wasn't face-to-face with Iraqi soldiers, but I did see a lot of things like, we dealt a lot of times with the civilians.
So why were you dealing with the civilians?
We were in their backyards. We would literally set up our firing positions in the farmers' fields. Like, you'd be sitting there. We would pull in. I was part of Advanced Party. We were the group that actually get in there first and set up the area for the battery.
Do they know that you're coming?
They know we're coming when we show up.
So they didn't know. They didn't have any like advance notice?
No, no advance notice. They just knew a war was going on, so people were probably going to be running through their backyards.
So how do they react to, like, Americans coming onto their farmland, per se?
Some of them just kind of sat back and hid. Some actually come up and start talking to us. We set up in this one person's backyard. The actual, it was like a farm field. It wasn't planted, as far as I could tell. But we set up there, and the family actually lived. It was actually their land. We could tell there was a larger house set up there. They took off in the morning. Like, they were kind of sticking their heads up at night. But the neighbors were all coming over the hills. It started off, you know, with kids. Kids are curious. So you'd see, like, these little kids, maybe 5, 6, 7, sticking their heads up looking at us. And then, you know, some guys be near them, so they, like, throw some candy from their MREs or something to them. They pick it up, eat it. And next thing you know, the parents are coming over, and...
Sounds like they're pretty friendly.
Yeah, they were very friendly. A lot of them, all the ones I met, even when we got towards Baghdad, and even Tikrit, which is Saddam's home, even there, people were generally friendly towards. They wanted us... They're like, you know, get rid of Saddam. They didn't like Saddam. You know, if we were there to throw him out, good. Throw them out. Get rid of them.
Why do you think the U.S. went to war?
Oil.
Oil?
It's our first sergeant, who's the highest ranking enlisted man in our battery, would actually, he shoot away all the officers, because that's one thing they do. They kind of push him away and say, you know, this is the enlisted talking. This is our battery. We're going to talk now. And he's talking. He told us, make no illusions about it. You're not heroes. You're not over there to save democracy. You're not over there to free the Iraqi people. You're there for one reason alone. He paused. The whole battery, it's like 120 of us all replied in unison, oil.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't like a hidden thing. We weren't sitting there thinking we're great protectors of democracy. I mean, yeah, we felt good when we saw the Iraqi people rooting us on, but we knew the real reason.
So when there was look saying that, you know, the whole claim was like they're looking for some kind of biochemical weapons.
Right. I wasn't that scared about it. Even the NBC guys were giving the classes. I got a chance to talk to them more one-on-one because I was the... only NBC trained person in my battery.
What is NBC?
Nuclear Biological Chemical Warfare. I was the only one trained in NBC week-long school a few years ago that goes through everything. Decontamination, testing areas, all that. I sat there and talked to them, and we basically came to the agreement that it was a joke.
Why?
Because even if you had the stuff, which we were both highly in doubt of, because you can't hide. They're acting like they're hiding this stuff. You can't hide the means to develop this stuff and produce it in mass quantities like that. And even if it was buried underground, we would see them digging it up. We would know they're digging it up. And before they even had a chance to use it, we'd bomb whatever they were digging into oblivion. Now, even if they did dig it up, they did have it in weapons form, the only way they had to hit it with is because they had no air force was indirect fire, things like rockets or artillery. Their rockets were really inaccurate, things like Scuds. Scuds were designed to hit things like cities. When the military, when we were actually in combat, we were moving in small groups. The rockets would come nowhere. They wouldn't be able to hit us on the first try in any way. And I went back and told everyone else in my unit. Everyone else in the unit was terrified of biochemical weapons. And when I sat down and explained how this worked to them, they're like, okay, so now I'm worried about landmines.
So you in particular realize this. You're like, well, what am I doing out here? Do you question that?
I knew from this get-go I was there. I was there for oil, you know? I mean, I questioned it. I didn't want to be there. I didn't support the war. The reason I went out there was because my friends were going. We sit there and we will count days until we're out just because we're so sick of putting up with everything, you know, being told what to do. I joined and thought I was going into artillery, but I think I spent more time cleaning floors than doing anything concerning artillery. You know, there's people who don't want to be there anymore, be it just because they hate what they're doing or they hate what they stand for. Nobody wanted to be there. Nobody wanted to fight the war. Nobody wanted to get shot at. Nobody wanted to shoot anybody else. But we knew in order to go home and get this over with, we had to get to Baghdad. I didn't want to go, like, before I even went, I tried to contact a conscientious objector group to get help to find out what I could do, you know, and I never got any response from them.
So what do you see or experience that you think most people in the U.S. doesn't know about?
Overall, like, the devastation of things.
What's the devastation from?
A lot of it is just, it's not individual small arms, it's things like artillery, rockets, the big things, explosives, you know, bombs, things like that. Like, the one time that, you know, just, you call it the horror war really hit me is we were traveling and we just got to an area, there's just, like, this smell in the air. It was this really horrible mixed smell. You could smell, like, burning rubber, fuels. You see, like, actual, like, tanks and stuff melting from, like, white phosphorus rounds. And then we're looking, like, what is that thing? And then somebody goes, smells like burnt hair. And then we realize it's probably people that were smelling that were still in the vehicles that were burning. Because there's no way you'd be able to pull people out of things like that.
How were you compared it to military forces?
From what I saw, the Iraqi military, it didn't pose any kind of a threat. I think Bush knew that. That's why he kept talking up the biochemical thing. We were actually into Crit. They told us that we might go to Crit, then have to fall back because they saw a lot of tanks sitting out there. None of them could move. They were abandoned. Like, they had, they were missing parts. They didn't have fuel to run them. You know, the soldiers weren't being fed. The desertion rates, especially early on, were incredible. We just rolled down the road and we would see deserters just walking down, and you knew they were deserters because the only pair of shoes they'd have were military boots, what was issued to them. So they'd walk around barefoot because they didn't want to be identified by their boots. So they left the boots behind, put on civilian clothing, and just walked away.
So why did you join the military at the time?
At the time, I wasn't going much of anywhere with my life. I went to college for a semester, didn't really take, I was tired of school. I was trying to write, that wasn't going anywhere. Then my friend was joining up. He's like, hey, why don't you talk to the recruiter? It's like, okay, talk to him. And he, you know, played a lot of feelings. Like I said, I wanted to see the world, you know. I wanted to try to make a difference in the world. Like, for me, when I joined up, the big thing in the news was Kosovo and the quote-unquote, you know, ethnic cleansing, things like that. And of course, now I find out that, you know, the ethnic cleansing actually, or genocide, if you want to call it that, got worse after we joined up than afterwards. So I'm sitting here after the fact going, oh my God, just the reason I joined was wrong.
So how do you feel about all those things that they told you now?
I saw the world. Not always the places I wanted to see. Not always in the best situations. But he left out a lot of things. Like the fact that, you know, I've got that extra 4 years. But I didn't sign out till I was had my pen right to the paper. I was about to start signing my name. Then they tell me about that. I'm like, well, I'm signing already. And actually, I served over 4 years active duty. I did about 4.5. Because they were able to extend me like that because of that four-year extension, something they also don't tell you. I was about to get out. I was actually a few days away from actually getting out, starting my term of leave, and basically not being touched. And then all of a sudden, they turned around and extended me.
What do you know now that you wish you would have known when you got recruited?
Just the whole state of American foreign policy is what really, you know, the American intervention is just, you look at the history of it, it's just, it's almost grotesque. I mean, you see things like Panama, which is a joke from when it was first created by American businessmen. with military backing. You know, the Marines, you know, American businessmen set it up, and then they call in the Marines to back him up when he starts having problems. Just look at the history of things like that. And that's what really gets me. I mean,
what are you planning to do now, like, with your life, and, like, where are you going?
Right now, I want to get more active in a lot of things. Different movements, different, you know, I'm new to the whole area. I've just gotten out of the military. I've only been kind of reading and educating myself on this for maybe 2.5 years now. So I know I still have a lot to learn, a lot to understand.
Why do you want to be interviewed? Why do you think your views should be publicized?
I think just my experience is letting people know that, you know, just because you're in a place like that in the military or something doesn't mean you have to go with the flow. That there is hope out there. There are chances, you know, to make a difference.
What other message do you hope to bring to our listeners? Like, what do you hope that they get out of it?
I hope better of an understanding of what was going on over there. You know, that not everyone out there was doing it, you know, because they think that we can do no wrong. That we actually do think, you know, just because you're in the military doesn't mean you're brain dead. You have no opposing views. You automatically agree with everything the president says.
What would you say to President Bush if he was listening to this program?
Get us out of Iraq, out of Israel, out of every single country we're messing around in, because we're not doing any good, we're doing more harm.